Now, last week, we spoke on the single most important gift that God has given to man. The single most important gift that God has given to man. And if you fully understand this gift and you utilize it properly, it is guaranteed to make a huge difference in your life and probably in the lives of those that are around you. It is the power of choice. The power of choice. Knowing that you have choice, that you have the power to choose, gives you power. It is powerful to know that you can choose, that you can make decisions. And I think this power is far more important than we have come to realize. It can change your life because change is a choice. Change is a choice. In the beginning, God had a purpose in allowing different options to be made available in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Why did God give an option to man to go against him, to choose to go against him? The reason that God allowed this option to be available was so that man would have to choose, that man would have to make a decision. So God gave Adam the power of choice, the ability to reason and make a conscious decision. God placed in your hands this morning, in my hands, the power of choice as a Christian. What an incredible power this is. Animals have instinct, but we have the power of choice. Adam was told that he could freely eat of any tree except one tree. There had to be a different tree, so there would be a choice to make. There had to be a different tree, so there would be a choice to make. Man was given the choice, the power to decide for himself whom he was going to obey. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 and 28, we see the same thing spoken. "Today, I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse." God here is speaking to His covenant people. "You will be blessed if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. And you will receive a curse if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn from His way by worshiping foreign idols." We are given the freedom to choose our own destiny. The freedom to choose our own destiny. I'm sure all of us have heard people say, "I don't know why God did that," or "I don't know why God allowed that to happen." But the fact is, we control our destiny with choices that we make. The Bible does not teach fatalism. By giving us the power to choose, God has given us the power to control our own lives. And by the way, that's under the grace of God. To be really free, we must have choices. To really love, one must have the choice to be able to hate. Life is made of choices, not chances. That is such a great statement that I saw last week. But we must never forget, all of our choices have consequences. We are our choices. That is something you must, and I must, understand. You are here today because of choices. You become a certain kind of person by the choices that you make in life. Character is formed by choices that you make over and over again. A habit becomes character. One writer said, "Decisions are really the cutting edge of life." I like what this writer says. Decisions really are the cutting edge of life. Our ability to make wise choices versus bad choices is ultimately what defines us and what shapes us. Even under the worst circumstances, where things seem to be completely out of our control, stripped of everything, you still have a choice. You still have a choice. Understand, when a situation is beyond your control, You still can choose your attitude. You still can respond to a given set of circumstances in a proper way, or many times in a sinful way. It's your choice. It is your choice. Attitude is a choice. Thinking is a choice. Nothing or no one can ultimately take away the power of choice. That's why it's so powerful. No one can take it away. No one can steal it from you. They can lock you away and put you in a dungeon, but you still have the power of choice to choose how you're going to think about the situation. We always have the freedom to think what we want to think. When Daniel was taken into captivity, not by his own will, he was made a slave. And slaves are limited in their freedom. They're restricted in their choices. But it says in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel made a decision in his heart. Choices in his heart to respond to his outward circumstances in a certain direction, in a certain way. All choices. Power. We do not have to be victims of our circumstances. Christians should never be victims. Never. No matter what one does to us, no matter what circumstance and situation we might find ourselves in, we do not have to be victims. We can be victors. We can be winners. It's a choice. It's all a choice of what kind of attitude I'm going to adopt in the situation. There will be certain situations in life that you will not be able to change. Maybe because of your own decisions or decisions of others. And in those situations, like I said last week, we must learn to accept it. We must learn to live with it. To have the right attitude. To glorify God in it. To honor God. Because this is His sovereignty, right? Sometimes these circumstances come to our life out of the blue. We did not choose it to happen. And we can't make it go away. And is that a mistake? No, if we believe in a God in heaven. And therefore we need to humbly submit to it and make choices to respond in the right way. That is a choice. Why am I emphasizing the power of choice, these two messages? The Bible does. God does. God wants us to choose whom we're going to serve. He's not going to force us to serve Him. I could hear the voice of Joshua in Joshua 24. He's very old, gray-headed. He's been through a lot in life. He's seen a lot. He's made a lot of choices. He's seen the consequences of wrong choices. And in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." A choice. And Joshua knew the choice was theirs. He could not choose this for them. He could not make up their mind for them. All through the Bible, we read about people like you and me making choices, being faced with the consequences of their choices. The Bible is a book about people like us who make choices and determine their future. People like Cain, people like Achan, people like King Saul, people like Judas Iscariot, all making bad choices, and they suffered greatly because of it. Consequences. People like Abel, people like Noah, Abraham, Daniel, and Jesus Christ, all making choices and being blessed by God. People are defined by their choices. People are defined by their choices that they make. And the consequences of those choices are not determined by us. God gives us the freedom to choose, but we have to live with the consequences of those choices. The choices you make today are what you decide today in your life. 10, 20, 30 years maybe down the road, there will be consequences, possibly. Life is made of choices. And these choices determine what our life will be for us. Therefore, the ability to choose, with this ability to choose, comes the responsibility to choose wisely. We have to choose wisely. We have to make the right choice. One writer says, "There is no such thing as a small decision. Every decision is vital for this reason. Decisions determine other decisions. Little decisions affect big decisions later. And each decision affects destiny. That's what we're going to talk about today. We need to choose wisely. Because with all of our choices, there will be an outcome. There will be consequences. And it's our responsibility as Christians to choose wisely, to make the right choices, to live a certain way that's different than the world. And that's all through choices. Now this morning, I'm not talking about what color socks you're going to wear, okay, in your choices. That's not the choices I'm talking about. I'm not talking about whether you're going to brush your teeth first or take a shower first. I'm not talking about whether you're going to take the elevator or the steps. I'm not talking about these kind of choices. These are choices that do not have an effect on my life in a powerful way. But this morning, I'm talking about crucial decisions. Crucial decisions that we face in life that will determine the course of our lives. Trying to speak loud today. We got a lot of baby noises going on, so I've got to preach really loud for myself. Crucial decisions that we face in our life will determine the course of our lives. That's the decisions I'm talking about. These decisions that direct us in a certain path, a certain destiny. For example, who we will marry. Huge, huge, huge decision. People don't even comprehend it, what kind of decision this is. Don't understand. They really don't. What kind of career I'm going to choose. Big decision. Where I'm going to work. What church I go to. What church I join myself to. Man, that is the huge decision. Monumental decision. Decisions that come to us every day that we have to make in the forms of temptation. And let me tell you, those decisions that we make in regards to temptation also can take us in a certain direction in our path in life. That we will have a difficult time in changing the course of our life if we continue to make decisions to go with certain temptations. Crucial decisions. How will you make wise decisions concerning these things that I'm talking about this morning? Crucial decisions in your life. There are certain questions I believe that we need to ask ourselves when we have options before us that will help us make wise decisions. The first question I think that we need to ask ourselves when we are in the crossroads of making a very important decision in our life are a common decision to go either with the temptation or against the temptation. The first question we need to ask ourselves in a decision is, what does God say about it? That is, as a Christian, that is fundamental. What does God say about it? Now, some people never think about this. Some people, I don't think they want to know what God says about it. I think a lot of people just don't want to hear what God has to say about certain situations, and they keep quiet. They don't ask questions. A lot of people don't ask questions because they don't want the answers. They know the answers might bring difficulty to their life. It may make them feel uncomfortable. The choice I'm going to make, is it in harmony with the Word of God? Is the choice that I'm going to make, is it in harmony with the Word of God? Is what I'm going to do, does it go against clear commands of Scripture? Very important questions that we need to ask when we're faced with a decision. Now always remember, when God clearly tells you something written down in the Bible, and He tells you written down plain and clear, you don't need to know Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek, and it's written down and you know it, and He says it's sinful, there is no reason for you to pray about it. There's no reason for you to even ponder on it. A disciple of Jesus Christ is to do one thing, and he has only one option, and that is to obey. Obey. Go against his feelings and obey. If it's written down, it's in the Bible, and it's a clear command, then we must, as disciples of Jesus Christ, conform and submit and humbly bow before that command. If God has clearly revealed his will in the Scriptures, our only response is to obey. I remember I met one person and they said, well, you know, I'm praying about whether to marry this girl. And the girl happened to be of a different religion, you know. Wasn't even in the same camp, you know. I'm praying about it. And I said, why are you praying? We know in the Bible. We know what it says in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. The principle is very clear. And so there's certain things we don't need to pray about. Fornication, adultery, these kinds of sins that are so clear, stealing, all these sins that are clearly marked out. That even people that don't have a Bible, that have moral conscience, moral light, would know, man, these things, that's wrong. You know? We don't have to pray about that. All right? We need to obey it. Now, these kinds of decisions, I believe, are very easy to make. Okay? Because it's clearly written down. Even if you're in doubt and the Bible's not so clear, wisdom always takes the safe side. Right? Wisdom. If I'm going, I love this illustration. Joy Faust used it in his message. He says, if I'm speeding down the road and I can't see what's in front of me, something, it's vague and it's hazy. It looks like a little child in the street. I don't know if that's a child or not. I don't speed up. I slow down. Right? So wisdom always takes the safe side. If I'm in question on whether this is going to be sin or that's not going to be sin, then wisdom takes the safe side. Go with the safe side. I would much rather side with legalism than looseness, or what's the word I'm looking for? Lasciviousness. Lawlessness. There we go. With lawlessness, okay? I would rather side with legalism than looseness and living with no rules and laws, okay? So we have to decide in life as Christians what our standard, what our rule for our decision-making is going to be. Are you going to base your decision on God's Word? Are you going to base your decision on the world? On what society says and what society values? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Is your standard for making decisions based on popular opinion? Is your standard based upon what people think and what people say? Man's wisdom? Man's understanding? Is it going to be the Word of God that I choose and make decisions based upon the Word of God? Or is it going to be my own wisdom, my own understanding? Well, you know, I just feel that sends shivers down my, hairs on the back of my head just like stand up. When I hear people that have a Bible in their hand and they say, I just feel. I don't know what you feel, but I know what's written. That's more important. What you feel is not important. What is written is what's important. What is written down in the Bible? That's why God gave us eyes and a brain. Between those two eyes there. Put that in there so we could read the Bible. And we could make decisions, right? But my goodness, never go with your own heart, your own wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. Well, I just think. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him in your decisions. Look to Him in your decisions. Look to the Word of God. And He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Proverbs 20, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? He can't. Jeremiah 10:23-24, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me. But with judgment, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto a man. Well, you know, it just seems right. It feels right. It might even be practical or pragmatic. Oh, it's a way right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God's word must be the final absolute standard in making our decisions as Christians. We need to ask ourselves, what does God have to say about our choice? And there's so many verses. I just picked a few here. There's so many verses that talk about the leadership of God's Word in our life. Psalm 119:11, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Word is what keeps us from sinning. The Word is what keeps us from making bad choices in life. Psalm 119:105, thy Word is a lamp unto thy feet, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The path and the feet. We're talking about decisions here. The writer here is talking about making right choices, making decisions, what path you're going to go down in life. Let the Word of God be the lamp, the light. So as a Christian, in our choices, we need to ask ourselves, does our choice go against the Word of God? Or does it fail to do what God commands? Very important, number one. Number two, maybe what we're about to do, the decision that we're about to make, Maybe it's not so clear in the Bible. Now, this is where difficulty comes in. We call it the gray areas. The gray areas. It's not so spelled out to be wrong or right. So what do we do? I think the Christian, as a Christian, we should ask, in our decisions, will it make me a better Christian? When I'm faced with a decision, and it's not really spelled out in the Bible, whether it's black and white, wrong or right, ask yourself the question, what I'm about to do, will it make me a better Christian? Will it make me a better person? Does it build me up spiritually? Does it build me up emotionally, mentally, and physically? Does it promote faith in my life? Will it move me closer to God if I make this choice? Although it's not so clearly defined in the Bible. How do I make that choice? Does it move me closer to God? These are all questions that we need to ask. We know that faith is what pleases God. So we should want to do the things that strengthen our faith. So if a decision is not so spelled out in the Bible, and it's going to take me away with regards to faith, with regards to practicing my faith, then obviously that's not a good decision to make, even though it's not clearly spelled out in the Bible, right and wrong. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Paul is teaching here that there are some things in life that maybe are not sinful, but they don't profit us. They're not profitable, spiritually speaking. Many choices that we make in life, it will be a choice not between evil and good, but it will be a choice between what is good and what is best. Okay? That's the tricky part. Many activities that we have in life are not morally right or wrong. They're morally neutral. The issue is, what is best for your life? And we would always want to think of spiritual priorities before the physical priorities. Although I know the physical and the spiritual are closely connected, we don't make a clear dichotomy of that in this church. But there are certain spiritual realities that must have priority in my life as a Christian over the physical. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? Over what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to drink, right? God says, I'll provide all those things if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? So we know that the spiritual, Jesus put it before the tangible, before the physical in this life in many areas of our decision making. The issue is not that there's nothing wrong with it, but we need to ask the question, what kind of person is this decision going to make me? What is this decision? What kind of person is this going to mold me into when I make this decision? Very important question. Number three, in making decisions. Another very important question that we need to consider when making choices in life. How will my choices affect others? How will my choices in life affect others? How will my decisions be viewed in the eyes of those that are around me? Have you considered how your actions may be hurting other people? Are you just concerned about yourself and decisions that you make in regards to yourself? That's not Christianity. Christianity says we're to love God and love others, right? So Christianity must consider what others think, how others feel. And I'm not talking about in the area of compromising our convictions of truth. But when we make decisions in life, we must understand that others are going to be influenced. Others are going to be affected. The biggest mistake that we make in life is that we forget how much our actions will influence and affect people around us. One writer said this, every day you are tempted to make decisions that may be the best thing for you, but could have devastating effects upon the people around you. I'm not talking about being people pleasers. Christians are not to be people pleasers. But we do, as Christians, need to consider others besides just ourselves in our decision making. That makes us Christian. We have the examples in Jesus. We have the examples in Paul. We are being watched. No matter how uncomfortable you might think that is, you are being watched. And others are affected by your decisions. And we never want to be a stumbling block to others in Christ, especially by our decisions, or by those who desire to be in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 8:9, be careful, however, that you exercise your freedom, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Very important. Christian, you should be very interested in how you live, because you're influencing people around you. You cannot just live your own life the way you want to. You have to be aware of those around you and how it affects them. One writer said this, very important. He says, mature Christians limit their freedom for the benefit of others. Immature Christians don't. I think that's true. Mature Christians will limit their freedom for the sake of others and being a good example. Immature people don't really care, Christians, about what others think and do what they want to do. If you are married this morning, are going to be married, in your decisions, you have to consider your family. You've got to consider your family. You've got to consider your wife. Wife's got to consider their husbands. And we have to consider our kids and all our decisions. I think so many people, if they are in the crossroads of a temptation, and they just thought of their children, they thought of their wife, and the preciousness of their family, I think in that moment, they would have no problem in making the right choice. So many people have gone down the wrong path, done so many things that later they regret. And they said, oh, I wish I would have never done this. I just didn't think of my family. I didn't think of my wife and kids, or the wife says, I didn't think of my husband, how this would result in such devastation to their lives. Very important. Will your choice trouble your family? Proverbs 11:29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. I don't know what inheriting the wind, you can, many applications to that, but it's not good. Yeah. Yeah. Could be. It's not a good thing. That's all I know. Do not bring trouble to your house in your decisions. Sometimes men who control the finances in their house sink their whole family into massive debt. And usually it's the men are the women overspending on things that they don't need. That also could be the case, but we have to be very careful in decisions that we're making. It affects everyone in the house. We need to consider others. This is an incredible protective factor in the area of temptation. Considering your family. Considering your family. Number four, when you're going to make a decision, ask the question, would I want everyone to know what I'm about to do? Would I want everyone to know what I'm about to do? If not, ask yourself why. Why not? Now, there are some privacy issues here. I'm not dealing with those privacy issues, the intimacy of a marriage. But there are certain decisions that we make. And we need to ask the question, would you want everyone to know the decision you're about to make? The thing that I'm about to do, would I want everyone to know about it? Or am I hiding it? Or am I going with one of these? You know, when you start doing that, you know the decision you're about to make is wrong. Dead wrong. You are going down the wrong path. Okay? Very important to understand that most of the time. I guarantee you, if we're embarrassed about our decisions, if others found out about them, most likely those decisions are not good. Not good. We need to live our life in the light, not in the darkness. Our life as Christians need to be an open book. Really. I just can't handle people that live a life of mystery. That are confessing Christians and are not open. They're not honest. We did a whole message 2 or 3 weeks ago, it's on the net, about honesty, about living honestly, being an open book. You know, not being someone who has ulterior motives going on within your head. You're telling people one thing, but inside you're something else. Okay, boy, it happens a lot, especially in the Eastern culture. Okay, but we need to be in the light. We need to make decisions. Our decisions need to be in the light. Why are we hiding them? What are we ashamed about? Those are questions we need to ask. Jesus said in John 3:19, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light." See, they hate the light. "And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he that does the truth comes to the light." He has nothing to hide. No, I'm open. I have nothing to hide. My decisions, I have nothing to hide. And you have sometimes people that live the dual life. They have the church face, Got the church face going, but at home they got the monster face. They're going around with a monster face, you know. Church face, praise Jesus. And then home it's like, oh, 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 hi, Pastor. Hi, Pastor. Yeah, hi, hi. Oh, we're doing fine. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, man. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Very important verse. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, have an honest life. Have an open book. Don't be one of those mysterious enigmas walking around, you know. The mysterious enigma person, you know. No, don't be that way. Be open, be honest. Have nothing to hide. I mean, come on. If you're a Christian, in the world, you have a lot to probably hide. But I'm talking about people that are professing Christians that have a Bible and are committed to the Lord. Have an honest life. What you do in private, what you do in public. Okay, that's very important. Now, there are certain issues, obviously, there are privacy issues that we have in our life. But I'm talking about decisions that we make that we would not want others to know about. Okay, very important. To consider in decision making. Number five, another important question to make when we're making decisions, choices, very powerful. Is this really the best use of my time? That's a good question to ask. Is this really the best use of my time? Are you investing in things that are really going to matter? Are they going to make an impact? You know? Or are you just spinning your wheels doing something that really doesn't, it's futile. It doesn't have a purpose. You know, TV programs, really, these constantly watching TV, and I know a lot of, I don't even have one, and many people do, that's fine. But it's ridiculous to be someone who's a TV addict. Waste of time! Waste of time! And by golly, video games! Video games, waste of time! Stupidity! It can be something that's just a plain, simple waste of time, you know? See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means very accurately, very carefully in your choices, in your decisions. Walk is actually the lifestyle that we live. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So important. That's what we're talking about this morning. We don't want to be foolish with our lives and waste our time doing things that are meaningless. Every one of us are given the same amount of time through the week. 168 hours, okay, during the week. And you know what? Time is the one thing in life that we can't get more of. If you want to use if you want to make the best of your life, if you want to make an impact in your life, you've got to do one thing. You've got to have control of your time. Your time is your life. Have priorities. Have goals set. Make decisions around these priorities, around these goals. Don't be sidetracked by distractions that waste your time. It's just a waste of time. Number six. Ask yourself in your decisions, do I take counsel from others? Very important. And if you say, oh, well, I don't know. Why not? Why don't you take counsel from others? We are not an island to ourselves. None of us here have all wisdom and all knowledge. I hope that you would realize that. There are many of us here that are older that have gone down the path. There are many people that are older than me that have gone down the path in life. We should not try to live in this world alone, making decisions alone. And yes, we want to keep things private, and many times we want to appear to everyone that we have all the answers. I have all the answers. I'm the answer man. I have all the answers. Why do I got to take counsel from him or counsel from the leaders or anything like that? Autonomy. I'm practicing my autonomy. But really, if you've considered what Proverbs says about counsel, about when I'm faced usually with a church issue, I immediately contact Rajesh and Rudy. I'm not going to make this kind of important decision on my own. I immediately contact, because I feel that counsel is important. There is someone outside of myself that can be objective to the situation. Okay, very important. But think of these passages that we have in Proverbs on counsel and wisdom. So important for guidance and decision making in our lives and situations that we face. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So important. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Solomon is writing this, the wisest man in the world. God said, what do you want? I want wisdom. I want to be able to run my kingdom with wisdom. And he's writing this. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Very important, counsel. We need it. Christianity, I always say this, Christianity is not meant to be a life lived independently. And that's why there's a church. That's why I firmly believe that the will of God is that a person be a member of a church. A baptized member, committed member to a local church. I truly believe that that is the will of God. You, all the letters, all the epistles were written to who? Individuals. Timothy was a pastor of a church. Titus was a pastor of a church. Okay, you got those epistles. But Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Jesus Christ addresses the last words of Jesus. But in the book of Revelation, he addresses, Revelation 2 and 3, the churches of Asia Minor. The book of Revelation was written to the churches. All the epistles had to do with churches. Okay? So churches is the will of God. And I really believe that that is where we get a lot of our counsel to make decisions in life. I'm not talking about control or manipulation. That is ridiculous. But really, that is what God has instituted, leadership in the churches. And we're going to be talking about that, in fact, in the book of Hebrews coming up in the next couple weeks. We have some verses coming up dealing with that issue. Number 7. Ask yourself the question. When you're about to make a decision, did you think your decision through? Did you give it time? Or did you make your decision on an impulse? You know, on a whim, they say. Do you have that word here in India, a whim? We did it on a whim. Okay. And so, Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Give thought to their ways. That takes time. To give thought takes time. We should give thought to our decisions. But the folly of the fools is deception. The simple, Proverbs 14:15, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The prudent considers well his steps. We need to take time to ponder our decisions, not to rush in to major decisions. Thinking through our options. Sometimes it helps to write down the pros and the cons. When we're faced with a decision, and it's not a moral issue, it's not a moral right or wrong issue, but it's a decision that my house has to make. I put on one side the pros and I put on one side the cons. It's good to write it down and think about it. When you're making a major purchase, I think I said this already, but when you're making a major purchase, you're going to buy something very expensive. Sometimes you need to just wait a month. Think about it. Do I really need that? Do we really need it? And wait a month before. And many times you'll find out, wow, I'm glad I waited and thought things through. Okay? And very important in our decision. And last this morning, and not least by far, the last question you need to ask yourself in making decisions, wise decisions, is that what will be the consequences of my choices? What will be the consequences of my choices? Some people never think about this. They think about it when it's too late. Before we make a choice, it is important to focus on the future. That's faith. Focus on the future. We should consider the possible results of the choice that we're going to make. What will be the consequences in the future? Where will it take me tomorrow? Where will it take me next week? Where will it be? Where will it take me in 10 years down the road? More important, where will I stand in the day of the judgment seat of Christ because of the decisions I'm making? Where will I stand in the day of the judgment seat of Christ? Will it take me to the destination that I've been promised as a Christian, the first resurrection? By the way, the first resurrection in Luke 20:35 is conditional. You have to be accounted worthy for the resurrection. That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. A lot of people like to skip over that verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Resurrection is conditional again. Paul wanted to obtain the resurrection. Will my decisions take me to the destination that's been promised to me in the Word of God? The power to choose does not mean that we have the power to choose the consequences of our choices. Consequences are left to God. They're left to God. We need to consider the future when making decisions today. All of our decisions that we make have consequences. When Moses looked at his choices and the consequences. And he reasoned. He chose to suffer with God's people, it says in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Why? Why did he make that decision? Why did he choose that way? He considered the future. He considered consequences. He looked for the reward, it says in Hebrews 11, 26. Noah built an ark. Why? He was warned by God about future destruction. And he made choices in light of the future. He knew that his choices would have consequences. The day of reckoning. One writer says this, so important. The day of reckoning is always preceded by the day of reasoning. The day of reasoning. We're in the day of reasoning. We need to reason. Because there is a day of reckoning coming to this earth. And how you believe about things that are to come, I do know one thing, and we all can agree that there will be a judgment day. And that's why we need to wisely regard the future in our decisions. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You cannot expect to reap life everlasting. That life everlasting is in the coming kingdom. When Christ returns, it is the first resurrection. But you cannot expect to reap that if you are sowing to the flesh. You won't reap it. You can imagine it, but it ain't going to happen. It's a fixed law, the law of sowing and reaping. Our future harvest is based upon the seeds that we sow today. It's fundamental. It's self-evident. One writer said, instead of dealing with the consequences when the harvest comes in, we would do well to deal with our choices in the season of sowing. No matter how much the farmer says, "I want wheat! I want wheat!" But if he is sowing beans, he is going to get beans. All right? That is the law of sowing and reaping. We cannot afford to make decisions based on our feelings. Cannot afford to do it. Don't do it. Be wise. Jesus Christ said, build your house on the rock. Make decisions when you hear His word to do it. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Or you are set up for destruction, He said. We must use our reason, not our feelings, to make decisions. Reason with the word of God. We must make decisions based upon the destination that we want to reach. That's why Paul said, "I press forward for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Promises, the hope of the coming kingdom. When you travel to destinations, say you're going to go to a different place, you don't get there by accident. You don't get there by coincidence. You get there because of decisions, choices that you make. I'll close with this morning. Life has choices. Choices have consequences. Therefore, make the right choices. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for bringing us here today to hear Your word and this short two-part series on decision-making, making choices, Lord. We pray, God, that this will be helpful to all of us as we make decisions in life, go through the ups and downs, the turns, the twists of life, God. One thing that can never be taken away from us is that gift that You've given us, free choice. We pray, God, that we would utilize it and use it properly to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to the commandments, to honor Your Son. We pray that everyone here would be blessed and take heed to what was spoken of today. And we pray, God, that You would bless the marriage tonight and all the arrangements and all the things that will be taking place after church is over today. I thought I would go a little longer today, maybe 3 hours. But no, I'm not going to do that. But Lord, we just pray that You'd bless the wedding tonight and all the plans and preparations and all the visitors and families that are coming. May everyone get along well and have joy in their hearts and be happy. We just really pray for, especially for Anil and Money, that they would just keep their focus on You and turn their hearts toward You, God, and be blessed by each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.